For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was the verse that someone showed me and told me how God loved me, Tom Maharis, that so much that he sent Jesus Christ to take my sin and die my death and take my punishment, an equivalent of an eternity in hell, and suffer, and then rise from the dead and come and tell me that he loved me and that if I would repent of my sin and accept him, he would give me eternal life. There are four things that this verse teaches. I didn't realize it at the time when I heard it, but I'd like to point them out to you. Number one, God says that man is perishing. We read in the Bible that, however, God is not willing that man perish, but that man repent. We know that man is perishing because of, number one, he's positionally born in sin. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God had commanded man not to eat from the fruit of knowledge, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And yet man disobeyed God, and man rebelled against God and listened to the voice of Satan. And Satan came to man and said, "Hath God said?" And so Satan comes today and says the same thing, telling us to deny and to doubt God's word. And so man doubted God's word and fell into sin. And under the judgment of sin, man was separated from God. And finally, Adam and Eve died one day, physically. And so the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Man is perishing, not only because he's positionally born in sin, but because he willfully does sin. Isaiah told us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. You know, the term is used today, do your own thing. Well, Isaiah knew that people back then in his day were doing their own thing. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. That was doing your own thing. That was people looking to themselves as their own leader, as their own guide, to lead their own life, and so have strayed away from God and his commandments to do their own thing. God says that because of this, Jesus Christ came into this life to die on a cross and to save us from the thing that we're doing, which is sin. And notice, God doesn't waste words. He says, man is just like a sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are the most helpless animals. Sheep are the most ignorant animals on the face of this earth. They lose themselves just being a little bit outside of the fold. And when the wolf comes, they can't protect themselves. They can't fight back. They can't run very quickly. And so God says we're like sheep. We're helpless. We're needy of his help. And we need to admit and realize this before God can stretch out his hand and help us. A man must see himself as a sinner. A man must see himself as perishing. And today I think that's one of the biggest problems, because people don't see themselves as perishing. People are just relaxed in church, or are comfortable sitting in some environment, listening to some flowery sermon and saying, well, everything is all right. But man needs to realize that he's separated from God, that it is appointed unto man once to die, that he will face his maker, and that he has to come up with some kind of an answer when he does. Man is perishing. That's man's condition because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Revelation 21:8 tells us that the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, even all liars will be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. And this is the second death. The first death is that physical death of separation of body and soul, and the soul goes to be judged. The second death is the separation of the soul from God in the lake of fire. And God says there's a lake of fire. The Bible says there's a lake of fire. Jesus Christ preached that except men repent, they will perish. And however, God is not willing that men perish, but that they repent. That's the second point. God's compassion. I'm so glad that 4 years ago I heard that although I deserve to go to hell, that although I sinned and I was on my way to hell because I've rebelled against the Holy God, that Holy God loved me so much that Jesus Christ came into this life, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, holy life, fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, went to a cross, and there hung on that cross is my bleeding sacrifice to take away all my sins. And oh, praise God that day I heard this message, God's compassion. God loved me. He reached into my lonely heart. He reached into my sinful heart, and he saved me of all my sin because I realized God's compassion. Listen to what God says concerning his compassion. It tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now notice how God is love. A lot of people misuse this term. Notice how God is love. By this, the love of God has been manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That word propitiation means a satisfactory sacrifice that God demanded because of His holiness for our sin. And God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus, that holy sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, which leads me to my third point. Jesus Christ was a satisfactory sacrifice. You see, man's condition, it's perishing. You see God's compassion in this verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He just didn't love Tom. He just didn't love Joe. He just didn't love Vicky. He loved the whole world. He loved the black man. He loved the white man. He loved the Chinese man. He made every man, and He loved every man, and He does today love every man. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for every man, and I'm so glad that God reached out with His love to me, a sinner. And it tells me that Christ gave Himself as a sacrifice. That's Christ's provision. And listen to it from the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse we read. But He, on the other hand, because He abides forever, holds His priesthood permanently. Hence, also, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should not have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for His own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this He did once for all when He offered up Himself. That's Christ's provision, friend. Have you ever accepted His sacrifice for your sins? Have you ever taken your guilt, your sins, and placed them on the cross of Jesus where He gave Himself as your sacrifice? It says here in the seventh chapter, in the 25th verse, it says, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. I came to that sacrifice. I came to draw near to God through Him, Jesus Christ's precious blood on the cross, and I have been saved forever. I tried coming to God through drugs. I tried coming to God my way many times, through meditation and chanting, many other ways, but never did I get saved. And never was it a permanent joy or excitement that I had. But when I came by the blood of Jesus Christ, when I came by the way of the cross, I was saved forever. And my sins were forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. Which leads me to the fourth point. Listen to the verse again. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you, believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a condition. There is a condition that we must make a decision to accept Him. It's not the fact that God loves us. It's not the fact that we're perishing. It's not the fact that Jesus Christ bled and died for you. But when you hear this message and repent, Jesus says you'll be saved. You must decide. That's the last point, man's decision. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Listen, I decided to follow Jesus. One day God was speaking to me. He was standing at the door of my heart. And He said, Tom, I love you. I know you're a sinner. I know you've lived a wicked life. I know the things you've done. I was there when you did them. I saw everything. But Tom, I love you. And Jesus Christ bled and died for your sins that you might not be judged alone and go to hell because of your sin. If you'd only accept Him, if you'd only repent and believe on Him. And friend, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Me. Buddha and Confucius and Mohammed and all the other prophets in the Bible were good men maybe, but they can't save any man from their sins and take away their guilt. Only Jesus gave that precious sacrifice, that holy blood that He shed on the cross to forgive a man of his guilt, of his sin, and to justify him, make him right before God, and to make him able to be a child of God and to come into heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. By Me, if you enter in, you'll be saved. There's no other door, friend. People try to get to heaven by their good works. People try to get to heaven by baptism. People try to get to heaven by joining some church or giving out money to many charity funds and different types of organizations. But Jesus said there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of God. And there's only one way to enter into heaven and to see heaven, and that's to be born into the family of heaven, into the family of God, by the precious blood that Jesus shed on that cross. It's the only way, friend. I'm glad that one day I came there as a sinner, just like that thief on the cross, which I'll close with this illustration. Remember that thief? He admitted he was a sinner. He said, you know, I deserve to be here. I know I've done things wrong. But what did this man do? He cleared Christ of any guilt. And then you know what he did? He turned to Jesus. That's what you need to do. He turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus not only died on that cross to save him, but was going to come into his kingdom, that he was going to rise again. And Jesus Christ rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He's alive today. 1972, he's still saving people. And if any man would just open his heart, whether it's 72 or 73, until Jesus comes back, if any man would repent of his sin, if you, sir, would open your heart right now and ask Jesus to come in, ask him to forgive you, he promises eternal life. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Won't you do that now?